IllBeHonest.com.
Psalms 27:14 says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." And it seems important as a first matter of business to really address some, maybe a common misconception of waiting on the Lord. We've heard this term flippantly thrown around, "Oh, brother, I'm just waiting for the Lord," or "wait for the Lord," this and that. It can become an empty term, just a Christian cliche. Really, it can be, like I said, empty of meaning and carry with it a sense of inactivity, or like taking your foot off the pedal and seeking the Lord to get you up that hill. But brothers, it's not inactivity that characterizes waiting on the Lord. Much more, that characterizes not waiting on the Lord. There can be little prayer or persistence, a really sense of fleeting hope and saying, "Oh, I'm just waiting on the Lord," and just kind of throwing it to the wind and hoping he brings it about. We see the scriptures, "waiting on the Lord," and "be still and know that I am God." We see these on coffee cups, and we see them in pretty framed art with still seas with boats on them, or pretty meadows and things like that. But that's not the context of waiting on the Lord. That's not at all what it means to wait upon the Lord. These are wartime verses. These are verses that are instructions for Christian soldiers in the middle of the fray. To get an accurate picture of what we're talking about, let's look at some of the verses that precede these. Let's look at Psalms 27, look at 2 and 3. It says, "When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall." Look at 5a. It says, "For he will hide me in the day of trouble." We're talking about days of trouble here. We're talking about being surrounded by adversaries. Verses 6 through 11 says, "My head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices. I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, hear, I cry out loud. Be gracious to me and answer me." It says, "You said, seek my face, and my heart says to you, Lord, I do seek." He's praying to the Lord, "Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger." We hear the angst in these verses. This is a far cry from sitting under a large oak tree, gazing upon some meadow, saying, "I'm resting and waiting on the Lord." No, these are wartime verses, as I said. Going on, it says, "My father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." He prays further, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries." So again, adversaries surrounding him, those seeking to eat up his flesh, father and mother forsaking him. He's pleading to the Lord for him not to forsake David. So again, this is wartime verses here. Let's look at Psalms 46. We've heard the verse, "Be still and know that I am God." Let's look at the context. A few verses here. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore I will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the sea, into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." And then 6 through 11. "The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth, how he makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God." So these are far from pretty framed pictures, brothers. These are a sure confidence for us in the midst of battle, in the heat of war. A more accurate picture would be maybe somebody standing on the shore of North Carolina staring Hurricane Irene in the face and saying, "Be still and know that I am God." Or maybe a war-battered saint who feels he's hanging on by a thread pleading with the Lord with the caption, "Be still and know that I am God," written beneath it. This is where we find ourselves in the midst of these cries. So, brothers, if you find yourself on the ropes or in desperate need of deliverance or waiting on the goodness of the Lord, my encouragement to you is this. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and of good courage. Wait on the Lord. We have the remnant of Israel offers us a very comprehensive picture of what it is in the Christian life to be waiting on the Lord. Here we have ourselves, we're freed and delivered from the bondage of sin. Now we're in the midst of the wilderness, walking through the wilderness of this evil present age. We're in the midst of battle. We're dwelling in frail earthly tents on our way to the promised land. That's where the Christian finds themselves. And so, brothers, we have as a fundamental element of the Christian life the aspects of waiting on the Lord for Him to bring us through in the midst of battle, to get us through and across that Jordan River. To bring it to a practical note or here at home, here we are at Grace Community Church. We desire elders and deacons. We desire the Lord to fill these offices and raise up more laborers. But the Lord makes it apparent that it's not His timing right now. Though we have men that we desire to take these offices, we look out, we perceive a need, we look into the Scriptures, and we see that this is a biblical desire. But yet again, the Lord makes it clear that now is not His timing. So, brethren, what do? We wait upon the Lord. I don't know how you guys left Wednesday night for you guys that were there, but I was encouraged. I was pressed. I was leaving with an earnest desire to be more diligent in my prayers for one another. James and I were talking about it, and he says, I'm not praying for those people until I really see them struggling. How I need to be praying for people before that. We have men that need to be prepared, that need to be further sanctified, need to be groomed and gifted for these positions. So what are we to do, brethren? We're to wait upon the Lord. We're to pray for these people. I left with an earnest desire to ask the Lord to give me a greater grace to serve the church, seeing that this is not just a role of elders or of deacons or the burden that we place upon a man, but no, something that we are all fit to work for. This is all a service and a ministry that God has placed our hands to. So that's what we're to do, is waiting on the Lord in the context of here and now in Grace Community Church. I look out and I see your singles. It's apparent to some of you don't have the gift of singleness. You see in the Scriptures it's better to marry than burn with desire. You see in the Scriptures that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. The thing is, you aren't married right now. What do? You don't go out and get your club and knock some sister over the head. No, brothers, you wait on the Lord. We find many places of exhortation and encouragement. One of them that I see is Psalm 37 about cultivating faithfulness. What are you doing right here, right now, preparing yourself for the things that God has placed in your heart? If He has given you the desire to have a wife, are you working on godly habits now? Are you seeking to have the means to provide for a family now? What are you doing in your time of waiting? Again, it's not a season of inactivity. Far from it, brothers. It is a season of great prayer. It is a season of great preparation. See that we can multiply examples here, but what I want to make clear is that waiting upon the Lord, and refining the art of doing so is fundamental to the Christian life. So we see what it isn't. It's not sitting around waiting on the Lord. It's not just posting up under the shade of an oak tree just waiting for God to make it happen. We see that it's something that the Lord encourages to do in hard times. So, brethren, what is it? Got this definition here. It says that entrusting oneself wholly to the Lord, relying on Him to bring about His perfect will by His means, in His timing, for your good. Again, entrusting yourself to the Lord, relying on Him to bring about His perfect will by His means, in His timing, for your good. So it's to look to the Lord and seek His counsel before going out and seeking human wisdom or personal initiative. It's seeking the Lord for what He would have you to do. Seeking the Scriptures of what does this look like? It's an expression of our submission and reliance upon the Lord, to wait upon God. So what are we talking about? We're talking about waiting well, brothers. That's what we want to do. We can wait in a way that is dishonoring to God. We can sit there and blaze our own trail, or we could wait well. So let's look at what it means to wait well, brothers. Let's look at some of the things that it's characterized by. First and foremost, it's based on the character and promises of God and the person and the work of Jesus Christ. See, we're not waiting on some man or the government to make things right in our lives. We're waiting upon God. We're waiting upon the omnipotent God who has given us innumerable promises, who has made us objects of His own love, who is for our good, who is the shepherd of our souls. This is the God that we're waiting upon. He is no tyrant. He is not unable. But yet He is the sovereign Lord of the universe. He's the all-wise God. When we don't know what's best for us, God does. We're waiting on the God who has saved us. We see that God has already done in our lives the greatest miracle, the greatest demonstration of love in our own lives in saving our souls. Got Psalms 62, 1 and 2. It says, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." So if you're in Christ, you've already placed your greatest hope upon Him. You've already entrusted Him with your greatest possession that you have, your soul. So are we not to trust Him with lesser things? We've been given Scriptures that God has not spared His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not also with Him graciously give us all things, brothers? If we're renewing our minds, if we're delighting ourselves in the Lord, and He's in placing things upon our hearts, godly things that we see in the Scriptures, desires to, what, see this east side saved, to go out onto the mission fields, to have a wife, to have a God-honoring marriage, we can trust that the Lord will bring these things to pass as we continue to pursue Him, as we wait on the Lord and waiting well and to walk in a manner that is pleasing unto Him. So what are the things that you're waiting for, brethren? Again, this afternoon, Lord willing, we'll go out onto the east side. There's been multiple times where we go out there and it's just closed door, closed door, closed door, and it's, wait, we need to pray. We need to pray again. Let's pray again. And then God just bursts the doors open and gives us a flood of open doors. It gives us great conversations with these people. Are we looking for God to save the adulterers, the swindlers, the revilers, the thieves, the greedy, the drunkards, the revelers, the swindlers? Look around you. Go look in the mirror, brethren. He's already done it. There's a room full of them. As such were some of us. Will he not continue to do it? God, guys, we got great hope in our God to do these things. Are you waiting some deliverance from a besetting sin? He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. We have a great and strong plea before God that, God, move me from this place. I cannot stay here any longer. God, come through, deliver me. And then we what? Go to war. We work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, because it is he who works in us, brethren. So first and foremost, we're to look at what Christ has done. We're to look at the character of God. We're supposed to be looking and reflecting on the goodness of God and what he has already accomplished in our lives, and have a sure confidence that he will continue to do so, brethren, that we will have greater and greater manifestations of God's goodness displayed in our lives. Next, it's characterized by prayer. Waiting well is characterized and bathed in prayer, brothers. At Psalms 25, 4 through 5, David prays, "Make known to me your ways. O Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation." Again, we see these characteristics intertwined. We see these things that the scriptures are really building for us a whole picture of what it is to be waiting upon the Lord. It's looking to the character of God. It's characterized by prayer. It's my desire to weave this all together for you guys, so that when the day of adversity comes, when we stand in the midst of battle, when we see the time frame between a desire in our hearts and it coming to fruition, we're then able to stand and wait upon the Lord to be strong and of good courage. Let's turn to Psalms 40, verses 1 through 4. David says, "I waited patiently for the Lord." And what did he do here? It says that he inclined to me and he heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog. He set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in God. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud or to those who go astray after a lie. Rather, we see it's characterized by patience, it's characterized by prayer. And what does God do? God rewards that. God shows himself strong to those who wait upon the Lord. Isaiah 64:4 says that God works for those who wait upon him. He goes to action for brothers. So what? We wait patiently for the Lord and he hears our cries. It's characterized by prayer, brethren. We're to be waiting in obedience. To wait upon the Lord means that we are now regarding what he is going to tell us. It's not just, "Well, give me some counsel here, Lord. Let me think about what you have to say about this." No, it presumes that we are going to be walking in obedience to what the Lord commands. Psalms 37:34, "Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land." Isaiah 26:8, "In the path of your judgments, O Lord, I wait for you." So we see where we're to wait. We're to be waiting in this book. We're to be waiting in the ways that God has already paved for us. Waiting well is characterized also by the fact that we're solely dependent upon the Lord. We're not looking inwardly for our strength to do it. We're not looking at our own wisdom. We're not looking about and seeing the ways of this world. No, we're dependent upon God to lead his people. Does he not say that he will lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake? Isaiah 62, 5 and 6 says, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, I shall not be shaken." Psalms 123, 2, "Behold, as the eyes of a servant look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of their mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he has mercy upon us." So again, it's a statement of our dependence upon God, looking to him to have mercy upon us. Him only as our rock and our salvation. Lastly, waiting well is an exercise of persistence. Luke 18, I'm sure you are very familiar with the passage. We have the persistent widow. It says that she kept coming to the unrighteous judge asking for justice. The judge at first resisted, but then he caved because the widow kept bothering him, saying to himself, "I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down with her continual coming." We know that we are not praying to an unrighteous judge, brothers. We see Christ, and he says of this, this is a verse that pierces me, brothers. This is something that really checks my faith. Christ says this, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Will we wait persistently for the God? Will we pound the gates of heaven? Will we be persistent in our prayers to God, asking him for what? The strength and the courage to wait well. That we not fall into some presumptuous sin, brothers. That we not go out on our own and do our own will. But that he would, again, lead us. Lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Hosea 12, 6. "So you, by the help of your God, return, hold fast to the love and justice, and wait continually for our God." So, brethren, persistence, obedience, prayer, patience, standing on the rock of our salvation, that is Christ. This is what it means to be waiting on the Lord. Looking back at our text in Psalm 27, we see some instructions for those who wait upon the Lord. It says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage." This is the same charge that God gave to Joshua before he was to enter the promised land and take it by force. We find these same imperatives given throughout the Old Testament as, again, wartime verses, brethren, as a charge to go into an enemy land and take the kingdom by force. So we see that this is not going to be an easy task. Be sure of it, brothers. We are going to be tempted. We are going to be tried. There are many a pitfall along this road of waiting on the Lord. Again, we can't lose the context here. It's not sitting out there resting on our laurels. It's not looking upon the still ocean. No, it's standing on the beach, staring Irene in the face, and saying, "I'm going to wait on the Lord." When all other things are contrary, we what? Thus, we wait on the Lord. The temptations will come. I tell you to throw in the towel. I tell you to take the easy road. I tell you to go out and make your own way. He'll slander God. We have such a great case study of David in Psalm 73, of him being battered and looking out on the things of the world and seeing, why is it that the wicked prosper? We see that Satan is taking his eyes off of Christ. Says that in vain I have kept my hands clean. Looking out on the wicked, why do they prosper? But no, our waiting on the Lord sees the promises of God. Our waiting upon the Lord sees, no, God has me sovereignly in this place right here, right now, for his purpose to grow, to glorify him. And in this time, I should stand strong. In this time, I should seek great encouragement from the Lord. So, brothers, no matter the circumstance, we look at our sovereign God and know that He is for our good. We're able to rest in the time between a desire and its fruition. We're able to wait in between the time of trial and sanctification. And we're able to, again, go to war knowing that God is for us. Let's look at some of these pitfalls or things to be watchful for in waiting on the Lord. Paul tells Timothy, keep close watch on yourself. And I have this imagery of a battalion of soldiers going through the battlefield. We know that the victory is won. The war is almost over. We're told all you have to do is get to the landing zone and you're on your way home. But the thing is, there's still enemy forces around you. They're still taking pop shots. They're still setting landmines along the way. There are booby traps with punji sticks. Brethren, there are things to be watchful for as we wait upon the Lord. We're to look at our hearts and see, am I waiting well? Is this truth to be known? Brethren, I've not waited well at times. There have been times where I've been greatly discouraged, where I've been very frustrated, where I've been very bitter. And these are all things that we have to be watchful for. What's the condition of our heart? Are we doing the things that God has set before us? Are we having a strength and encouragement in Him? Are we looking around at the circumstances around us? Are we looking within for our own strength? So first landmine, just that, discouragement. We find ourselves growing faint and tired. We have some desire or expectation. And the Lord's answer is wait. Brethren, don't be discouraged. We know that He is working all things for our good. Again, look around in this church. I'm confident that there's going to be a day when we see officers and laborers and more people being sent out and more people coming in from the seaside. I'm confident of that, brethren. I wait for that gladly, with great anticipation. We're not to become discouraged. Another landmine, as I would call it, would be discontentment. Not being content with the Lord, where the Lord has us. And here's the great evil with this one. When I found myself in this season of just being discontent and frustrated with where the Lord had me, what it says, I kind of envision it this way, the Lord pulling up next to me in a battleship and the first round just being shot through the hull. And that shot was this: I have set you free from sin. What else do you desire in this life? To be content. What else would you have in this world other than me, for your contentment? And that was a crushing blow, brothers. And that's what discontentment says. God, I'm not satisfied with what you have in your hand for me. I'm not satisfied with where you have me, Lord. I'm going to go out and do this on my own. I'm going to take the easy road out. But that's that's a deathly blow, brothers. Again, we've got to look at Christ. We've got to know that He has our best in mind, that He has us in that particular time and situation for a very purpose. We're supposed to be learning things from these trials. We're supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ in these things. And these are the very means. While the genuineness of our faith is being tested, brethren, we're to stand in the fire. Will we be able to rejoice always in it? The next landmine would be this: taking matters into your own hands. We have our Israelites here. I'm just going to read some sections out of Numbers 14 for you. You can look at 42 through 45. We're all familiar with the story. The spies have been sent out. Most of them come back with a bad report. They lack faith in God. They discourage the people. And the Lord pronounces his judgment upon them, that no one of this generation, 20 years and up, except for Caleb and Joshua, that will enter into the promised land. So the Israelites say, well, you know what? We were supposed to go take that land. God was going to give it to us. We messed up. Okay, let's go out and do this. Let's go and fight against the Amalekites and the Canaanites. Verse 42, the Lord says, do not go up, for the Lord is not among you. Actually, this is Moses saying this. I'm sorry. It says, do not go up, for the Lord is not among you, lest you be struck down before your enemies. For there the Amalekites and the Canaanites are facing you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you have turned your back from following the Lord. The Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up to the heights of the hill country, although neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed out of the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in the hill country came down and defeated them and pursued them even to Horam. Brethren, what a landmine there. That the Lord not go out with us, that we go out and fall flat on our face because we're trying to do this in our own strength by not waiting on the Lord to go out with us. He promised them that they would have the land. But may we be those of great faith. Again, not falling into discouragement, not going out and doing it on our own, but waiting well upon the Lord. Finally, some promises of the Lord for those who wait upon him. It says that they will not be put to shame. We've read that God will answer the prayers of those who wait upon him. Psalms 33:20 says, the Lord is the help and shield of those who wait upon him. In Isaiah 64:4, the Lord acts for those who wait upon him. We see the disciples. They're told to go wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord in the city, and he's going to what? He sends out power from on high. He gives them his spirit. Brethren, we have great things that we can expect from the Lord as we wait upon him, as we walk in obedience to our God. That's the thing. We desire to see God move. I don't want to see what my hands can create here. We want to see what God can do in our lives. We want to see what God can do with this church. We want to see what God can do out on the foreign field. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. And I know we can find ourselves discouraged or tired. We can become lazy. We can lack strength. But let us look to the Lord. Isaiah 40:28 says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. This is the one we wait upon. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Isn't that right where we find ourselves? It says, even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. So, brethren, if we desire for the Lord to use us, to bring about his good purposes, to see God just work in our midst, wait upon the Lord. wait well with much prayer, obedience to what he says, persistent in our prayers, with a sense of hope and expectation in our God, and delighting to do his will. So, brethren, we have these great promises. God will give us strength. He is our God, and we are his people. And that's a wonderful truth that we can rest upon, that we can find rest and strength in the midst of storms. In the midst of being battle weary, we can find our God right there with us, that he's not forsaken us. So, brethren, that's my encouragement to you, to be strong and of good courage and wait upon the Lord. Amen.